Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
There is an app called ThreeFun. And this app is for people who are into threesomes.
Oh, really?
And believe it or not, they got like more than a million members. There's a lot of dirty birdies out there, I tell you. I don't know what's going on.
Let's hope it's a number divisible by three.
Yes.
Or else it's people just hanging out looking to get involved in something.
Right. Yeah, look, sex, it's meant for making babies, missionary lights out. I don't know, you got to be running around shoving your bits all over the place. Anyhow, they decided to do a little research to find out who was the most, you know, amorous on their site.
All right.
And they decided to follow this through astrology. And they figured out that the three star signs that are most into threesomes include Capricorns, Leos, that's me, and Geminis. I can tell you right now, I'm one of the million people on that thing, and I had nothing. There's no fun. There's no three fun for me.
Right.
I'm on one fun. Me fun. And even that is not working out. Anyhow,
your app is getting double the carpal tunnel.
That's right. The bottom three, Sagittarius, Scorpio, and Libra. You're all boring.
Which one of those is Maria?
all three. A quarter of people who say they'd be willing to wear a face mask during sex. That's only, now, look, if you're in a monogamous relationship, you're good. You don't have to wear the mask.
That recommendation came out, what is it, last week, 2 weeks ago, something like that?
Dr. Tam
released it with Health Canada saying, and it was directed at, you know, if you're just flipping through Tinder all the time and hooking up, that it's probably a good idea to protect both ends.
I've seen it in the porns.
Right.
They're already wearing the masks.
Really?
Oh, there's a whole thing. You know, if you did it the way they tell you, Dr. Tan says, you know, not face-to-face and all, that could be a whole new category under porn.
Right.
Where it was like, who's in me now? Take off your mask and reveal yourself. Oh, you got me again, stepdad.
The mask dinger.
That's right. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna get on the phone to Pornhub.
Yeah.
I've got a category. I don't think it's called Who's In Me Now?
Amazingly, they may not have thought of it.
No,
though.
I could be on to something here. About half who go to strip clubs were asked about wearing a mask in the strip club, and out of the people asked who go to strip clubs, only half say they'd be willing to wear the mask in the strip club. I don't know why. I don't even know. Do the dancers wear a mask? Like, somebody's got to have a mask on. Like, you know how waiters,
right?
They wear the mask. And
right.
When you're at your table, you don't have to. So are the strippers up there with only the mask on?
I don't know.
Take the mask off.
Are you asking for a friend? I assume, being staff, that they would have to be wearing them and wearing their masks. I mean, you know, so 50% of patrons, you know, horny dudes who, you know, care to go into a place like that right now. I'm not shocked that 50% said they don't want to wear a mask in there.
Drooling all over themselves.
But I guess if you're going in there and you're having drinks as well, it makes it difficult to be wearing the mask.
Do you remember, there are certain things in life that you can only do once, and it's amazing, and you never get that feeling again. Like, I remember the first time going into Maple Leaf Gardens and seeing the lights.
Right.
Like, walking up those steps and into the arena and seeing the sun. Like, I was just so awed by it all. The first time I went into a strip club, like, I was stood in there, probably underage. My buddy's older brother took us in. Boobs everywhere.
Yeah.
I just was like, look at all the boobs.
This happens?
Yeah. Like the old Steve Martin line. There must be 57 boobs in here. Yeah.
Is it bad that I, you know, I guess I normally associate bathrooms because of my tummy troubles with places. But Maple Leaf Gardens, as awe-inspiring as that walk out the tunnel is, I do remember the horrible experience of the trough bathroom.
Bad mistake.
And just who the hell was the architecture behind that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with the strip club bathroom, when you go in and there's always the attendant with like the lineup of colognes and aftershaves to try.
That's right. Yeah. Forgot all about that guy.
Right. What a job that is.
There's a gig.
Hey, I got hired at the strip club. Oh, yeah? What are you doing?
You the DJ?
No. I'm the bathroom cologne guy.
I remember a guy, a lot of radio guys got their careers, you know, started as DJs in strip clubs.
That's one of them's across the hall.
Yeah, that's why you have so many of them talk like this.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, a guy I worked with years ago told this great story. There was a headliner, a strip club. You know, some of them will have headliners, and you pay extra at the door to see the headliner that night. Anyhow, this woman, this headliner, is on the phone in the DJ booth. She's talking to somebody, and she is furious at the person because the person was supposed to come, and I guess they were bailing. And she's on the phone just screaming, I saved you a seat. I got you food. I got you drinks. And cursing a blue streak at this person. And then at the end of the conversation, she says, well, you better get here, Mom. I'm furious. Yeah. It's a good life. She's just paying her way through school. Leave her alone.
Yeah.
There are six seasons in the Hindu calendar. There's summer. There's monsoon. It's a lovely time of year.
I bet.
Kite flying.
That's a season?
That's a season. They get so much of it.
I know there is a monsoon season. I didn't know they literally called it monsoon season.
Yeah, that's get out of town season is what that is. Autumn, late autumn, or pre-winter. Winter and spring. So they get six seasons in the Hindu calendar. The sixth commandment literally translates from Hebrew as thou shalt not murder, not thou shalt not kill.
Okay, they make the distinction?
They do, because it took into account that people might face situations like war or self-defense when killing was necessary.
Gotcha.
When you think of movies, you think of Hollywood and you think of America, but the American film industry only produces the third most movies in the world. India's film industry, number one.
Bollywood, yeah.
Yeah. And Nigeria's film industry is second.
Really?
I'm sure I must have probably seen a Nigerian film. There must be a lot of them.
Right. It explains why your Nigerian relatives have so much money they want to give to you.
That's right. I just got to send them a check first and then get right back to me. The first script for E.T., family favorite film, was a horror movie.
Really?
Yeah, Steven Spielberg decided he liked it better as a family flick. And the horror script was rewritten to become Poltergeist.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember Eddie Murphy's great line about Poltergeist? He talked about white people living in homes. He said, black people, if we had a kid in the TV, I'd leave the house.
This is gone. You move.
White people stay.
Would you ever, you know, like you have to disclose if something's happened in that house.
Mm.
Like, would you move into a house that had any?
I mean,
I don't think Maria would.
No, probably not.
Would you have an issue moving into one?
Well, if it was a mansion and I got it for like $100,000, I'd get past the. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess natural causes. Well, here's something interesting. So the house next to me just sold, and an Asian family bought it. And as I was out cutting the grass one day, the real estate agent, who was also Chinese, Asian, he comes up to me and says, hey, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He goes, can you tell me any of the history on the house? I see on the sales info that it's listed with two owners, but there's only the woman living here now. I said, oh, yeah, her husband passed a few years ago. He said, oh, did he pass in the house?
Yeah.
And I said, I know he was very sick for a long time. But I don't know. And they said, oh, okay, thank you. So I guess maybe that's a Chinese thing. Where
a superstition of some. Yeah. But listen, there are a lot of people who wouldn't be comfortable knowing that someone passed away in the house.
I think like if somebody had cancer and died in the home or had a heart attack, I'd be fine with that. That's just, it is what it is. If it was a murder or a suicide, like there was a house down the street from me when I was a kid where like a 14-year-old boy committed suicide in the house. And I remember when the family left, it sat on the market forever because nobody wanted near it. So yeah, I'd be fine if somebody just passed away naturally, I think. You know, with older homes, bound to be at some point, right?
All joy goes to die in your house anyway, so what would be the difference?
That's right. It's a good point. If you have two arms, You have an above average number of arms.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so you got that going for you. That's something. How does that work? Well, almost no one has more than two arms. You've never met anybody with a third arm.
No.
I understand we'll grow one when the vaccine comes out for COVID.
Some will say that.
One of the side effects. But some people have zero or only one. That means the average number of arms worldwide is just slightly less than two.
Why don't they do that with legs? Or is that third leg out there every now and then?
Sometimes. Human tripod. And finally, let's move along. Neil deGrasse Tyson is one of the most famous astrophysicists in the world. Turns out he's also a fantastic dancer. He won a gold medal at a dance meet in 1985 doing Latin ballroom for the University of Texas dance team.
Put him on Dancing with the Stars instead of Carole Baskin.
Right, right.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
And the stars.
Right. Oh, yeah.
See what you did there? People were asked if it was acceptable to have sex with your partner when you're staying in a guest bedroom at someone else's house. I've had sex without a partner in a guest bedroom. You know, sometimes you just got to knock one out of the park. And funny enough, so like about half, almost half, say it is acceptable. That's wrong. I mean, I've done it. Yeah. I'm guilty. I'm no saint. But really, can you not wait till you get to your own home? You're only there for a couple of nights.
I've had sex when I'm an unwelcome guest in people's houses. I guess it takes you back to, like, the sneaking around when you were just a young couple or kids, right? Like, you know, parents in the next room kind of thing.
You've
got to be quiet.
I don't know why we... I guess it's a respect thing, probably. You're right. It's funny, we check into a hotel and it turns into a porn shoot.
Right.
But if you go stay at a friend's place or like a bed and breakfast, that's even worse because you're in somebody's private home.
Right.
They've offered you this bedroom. You know, you're paying for it for the night. And we stayed in one like down around Kingsville. We were supposed to go, I think, to stay at some bed and breakfast on Pelee Island or something. And the waves were up too high on the lake. And so the boat couldn't go back and forth, the ferry. So we ended up getting stuck in Kingsville, and we just found this bed and breakfast. And the man that opened the door, beautiful old Victorian home, gorgeous. And he opens the door and he says, "Well, not really taking anybody this weekend. My wife's away, and she normally handles all this." He goes, "But you got nowhere to go, so you can stay." And puts us in this beautiful room, and it's got its own bathroom and a claw tub and the whole thing. And, of course, we had sex, but, you know... So now the next morning we're up and they feed you breakfast at these places. And he, again, his wife handles all this stuff. I think he's just like the groundskeeper. You know, he cuts the grass.
Right.
She takes care of all the clients. And so we're sitting there in his kitchen now and he's trying to find like eggs and bacon and anything to feed us. He doesn't know what's going on. And I just feel bad because I just want to say, you probably want to tell your wife to change those sheets.
You know, one of the funny things about this show is we will talk about serious topics, be it politics or pandemics or tragedies that happen, and no one will comment about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask if you like ketchup on grilled cheese, and they start flowing in.
Explodes.
And so we put it out there that we were going to talk about, you know, sex in a guest bedroom, and they've been flowing in. Roz says, yeah, for sure, because the sheets are going to be washed after anyway.
Are you sure?
Well, you'd hope so. You'd hope they'd be washed before you got there.
Some of them have to be burned.
She said, "One time a guy and I broke the guest bed. It was such an angle. He stayed there a month later saying it wasn't fixed. It felt like he was going to roll out of it all night long."
That's great.
Carrie said, "We had friends stay at our house, and after they left, we stripped the bed. We noticed footprints on the wall beside the bed. I guess somebody needed some extra leverage," she says.
That is great.
If you're going to town like that.
You know, sometimes a quickie, you know, but yeah, you don't have to get all up in there.
I mean, imagine the scenario is more likely than not. I mean, the guy's ready to go. Guys are always ready to go. We're hornballs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's up to, and I guess it might depend on whose house you're staying at or whose friend or relative that is, right? Because you see the female in the situation, if she's ready to go, then it's on.
Mm, yeah.
But more often than not, it would be like, no, I don't want them to hear us.
No, yeah. Well,
because it's just embarrassing when you wake up the next day and you know you've been loud.
Alcohol plays a big part in it, too. You know, you're visiting family and friends. Of course, you're probably having drinks in the evening. And then, of course, all the inhibition goes away. Now, you've got the cottage. I would assume that at some point you've had other couples up there and you've heard of shenanigans going on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, that's why you don't get the invite.
Teddy Reeder joins us for Helinda's Meats. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Craig.
Saw on Facebook you were cooking up some tasty chicken thighs. And the great thing about chicken thighs, or I guess drumsticks, or any of the cuts outside of the breast, is you can feed a whole family for relatively cheap.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's inexpensive, and it's a quick cook. And it's a lot of fun, and it's tasty and delicious.
Yeah, because it's a dark meat, too, right? So, yeah.
It's a dark meat, so it's got a little bit more fat, and it's got a little bit more flavor than that chicken breast. But this recipe works with either. I like the boneless, skinless chicken thighs. They work quick and easy when you're in a bit of a hurry during the week. And so take them out of the package, pat them dry with some paper toweling to remove any of that package moisture. Because that's really when you leave that film of moisture in your from the foods that you buy out of a tray, if you happen to pick it up at the grocery store, you want to remove any of that moisture that's on the product for any product that you're buying.
Now, when
so
it comes
take some paper towel.
When you're taking meat out of a package, I'm always one to, outside of red meat, I will always rinse them down. Should we be rinsing all of our meats outside of like ground turkey, chicken, or beef? But should we be rinsing our steaks off or our chicken off before we start cooking them?
Just pat them dry.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Okay.
If it's a whole bird, it's sometimes nice to rinse out a whole bird if that's what you're using. But really, I just use some paper towel on it, and that's enough to remove that excess moisture.
So they're usually good and clean and healthy when they go into the package?
Yeah, they are. They are.
All right.
I mean, processing is pretty sophisticated nowadays, so the packaging that you get is pretty good.
Okay.
I spent years working in the grocery industry, and so, but paper towel is what you need. You don't need that excess moisture.
All right.
And then put the thighs into a bowl. Take a whole lemon and zest it. Take the rind off. Use your box grater and grate it. Don't shave off your knuckles.
Lemon zest or lime zest, that, of course, is from the skin. But don't we get enough flavoring out of the juice alone? Why do we need the zest?
The zest has natural oil in it, and that gives a pop to your food.
Okay.
So it'll make it a little bit brighter, that lemon zest. It also looks kind of good in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tells people that you used a real lemon.
Right, of course.
That's why chefs do it.
Okay. It's all show.
Hey, they used real ingredients, not that store about shelf stuff.
It's all showbiz.
That's it. It's all about the show. And then you you take those thighs, lots of garlic, if you like garlic, fresh herbs, whatever type you like, oregano, thyme, parsley, sage, rosemary, whatever's left in your garden, chop it up, throw that in there, a dash of olive oil, and then a heaping tablespoon of yogurt.
Yogurt.
Mix it all up. Yogurt.
It doesn't curdle while it's cooking?
It will do a little bit,
okay.
But it's a great tenderizer,
and
it's a great way to enhance the flavor.
Very good.
And so marinate, and you can do a quick marinate on that for an hour if you like, or you can do it the night before so that when you come home from work, it's already done and ready to go and hit straight onto the grill. You then take it after it's marinated. You take it out of the marinade. You can brush off or scrape off excess marinade of that yogurt so that it won't burn as much. And then straight onto a hot grill. Make sure your grill's nice and hot. And then cook those chicken thighs for 30 minutes tops, 20 to 30. 20 to 30 minutes tops until they're fully cooked. And finish it off with a little everything bagel seasoning. It's not just for your bagels.
No, I guess I didn't even know they sold the seasoning of the everything bagel.
No, you have to go to Timmy's and get yourself all the bagels and then scrape it off. Okay, that's for you. That's what you have to do. Yes,
yeah,
they sell that in certain stores.
I never saw the everything bagel seasoning. Huh, that's interesting.
I at the joint, we mix everything bagel seasoning with my steak spice.
Okay.
And then that gets sprinkled on all of our chicken wings when they come out of the fryer and tossed in the sauce.
Interesting.
So you get a little crunch.
Yeah,
it's a textural thing.
Okay.
And that's easy. Chicken thighs on the grill. Nice and quick what you need to do for the rest of the week.
Beautiful, Teddy. People want to talk to you about grilling or anything else. How do they get a hold of you?
You're going to find me at Ted Grills on the social media world.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.